B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
Most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
I just came here to help you rate.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
First of all, the Boston Celtics should be ashamed of themselves. That's first thing first, all right? The Boston Celtics just don't want to play. That's all it is. They don't want to play.
So true. And again, I do go to Tatum. You do see it all the time. Team has no chance. They know they're not going to win. But an individual player goes out there on that spotlight, on that stage, and says, I'm going to show everybody who I am. And if we lose, we lose. But it won't be because of me. And you're all going to see it. And especially someone like Tatum, who wants to be, has to be, for the Celtics purposes, one of the best players in the league. And he's got three guys on the other side. I think there's other players in the league who would say, well, here's my chance to show everybody I'm as good as those guys. We may not win, but I'm going to show everybody what I am. And that's what Jordan did. Again, going back to 86, I think it's what Luka Doncic does now. He's not surrounded by crap. And he, you know, the two playoff years I've seen him, he's fought his ass off and performed. And his team lost last year in the first round, but it won because of him, and he established himself.
In this series so far this year, so they're up 2-0, are the Mavs on the Clippers. He had 31 points, 11 assists, 10 rebounds, 5 from 11 for 3 in game 1. Game 2, 39 points, 7 assists, 7 rebounds, 5 for 13 from 3. Like, that kid balls out.
I mean, I'm sure there's more examples of guys who know the league well. I mean, great player on a team that's not going to go anywhere in the playoffs, but the guy shows up and he's the guy.
Oh, yeah. No question about it. It's about the attitude.
Well, that's what's frustrating. The thing with Tatum is, you know, he has the ability to do it because we've seen him do it. You saw him do it against Washington in the play-in, or a better example, because you think that was a tank job by them. You might be right there. Was that comeback against San Antonio where he had, what, 60 points?
He has the ability to do it. And if he had the edge that thing, then you would see it. Instead, he's kind of tapped out both nights.
Okay, so, Ed, listen, no argument here. I mean, it's been pretty clear. Last night was again, humiliating is what it was. It was humiliating, that game. Does it surprise you?
No.
Me neither. And honestly, I thought we were going to see it in the play-in round, because I don't think they wanted to play. I said this at the time. I agreed with Perk. I don't think they really wanted to play. I don't think they wanted to be in the playoffs. So they showed up for a half, and the Nets sucked, so they deluded themselves into thinking that, maybe we do have an outside chance. They got dusted in the second half of that game. Last night, the Nets obliterated them right out of the gate, and they had no interest in being there. Zero. They don't want to play. Perk's right. They want to go home. They want it to end.
Continuing with your thoughts on that, the Kyrie situation, which again was a real low blow and I think cuts real deep and really hurts the team. I really think it does. And Kyrie knew it. Snake. Leo and Franklin. Go ahead, Leo. What do you got?
Hey, how you guys doing today? I am a huge Bob Weir fan. I'm not sure if you guys mentioned it. To those who think, how old must they be? John Mayer fronts stage with them, and he's only 43, and he's a beast. But to my point, I think the bigger picture of the Kyrie situation is that not only did he take direct aim at the Celtics, he also took direct aim at the league when he said, unfortunately, that's the league we play in now. And I'd say that all pro leagues should have the ability to respond accordingly. But now you have league owners themselves taking aim at their very own product with the recent outburst of the Rangers ownership calling for the immediate firing of one of their league officials.
All right, Leo, all over the place. Did he say in his comment that that's the league we live in?
No, I don't remember that. When he said, the caller said that, that's not how I heard it. I think he said this is the world we're playing in. Or I'd like to hear it again, frankly.
Let's go. Kyrie Irving last night asked about his return to Boston coming up this weekend.
It's not my first time being an opponent in Boston. I'm just looking forward to competing with my teammates. And, hopefully we can just keep it strictly basketball. You know, there's no belligerence or any racism going on, subtle racism and people yelling from the crowd. But even if it is, it's part of the nature of the game, and we're just going to focus on what we can control.
Is it something you've experienced in Boston before?
I'm not the only one that could attest to this, but it's just, you know, it is what it is.
Ryan, that's Durant saying the whole world knows. I think that's the worst part. The closest
he said to what the caller was referring to is that's the nature of the game.
Yeah, he didn't say anything about the league.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, that is the nature of the game. And again, I've given my thoughts on it, but it is standard operating procedure for a star to leave a team, come back, and especially in the NBA, for a star to leave the team, come back and play in that building and get booed. Like, that is, Kyrie's hardly the first guy that had to deal with that.
It's so, in every sport.
So that is, especially the NBA recently with these, with the player movement. You know, Durant had to face it in OKC, LeBron in Cleveland. Like, it's happening more in that league because of the player movement. But either way, that is the nature of the game. And that's why it's like, well, why are you playing the race card there? That's just the nature of the game. You can't handle it. All these other guys have handled it. All these other guys put up with it. Yeah, they go back to their original team and get booed. Yeah. And if they got any balls, they use it as fuel and pour in 45 and win the game and shut everybody up. And that's all part of the experience. That's the nature of the game. What does that have to do with race?
It's payback. It's his form of payback. You in Boston didn't appreciate the artistry of me playing basketball for you. And so now you want to boo me? Oh, no. So here's my payback.
And the other thing is, and not just Boston, how many times has this guy ducked going back to play in his own buildings? There's a history of it.
Too, yeah.
There is a history of it.
He can't handle it.
He really can't. Honestly, I think there's something wrong with the guy. I do. I think he's got like some serious like disorder
issues.
There is something wrong with the guy because he has to completely manipulate every situation and make it himself out to be some sort of victim. There's something wrong with him.
Ralphie in Brockton. Go ahead, Raphael.
Hi. Yeah. How you guys doing today?
Good.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I think that what Kyrie Irving did was actually strategic. But the bigger question is that I want to ask is, so let's say, for instance, Brown and Tatum, have a certain feeling about what transpired with Kyrie's statements. And Danny Ainge sits down with them, and they bring back the whole idea of how they were treated or how they felt when Gordon Hayward was put in ahead of them when Gordon Hayward came back from injury and wasn't ready. And Danny asked them, is that a problem? So what if they say the problem was with Brad Stevens? What do they do then?
This is why I'm sort of raising this, that if the perception, which again, I don't think is fair, but if it's taken hold among NBA players that that's what this is, Brad Stevens, Danny Ainge, the all-white front office of the Boston, say it doesn't do you any favors. Like, that's just a reality. It's unfortunate. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure what Stevens does. And the Gordon Hayward thing, you know, like, that's so unfortunate, too. It's like, they were buds from Indiana. It has nothing to do with his color either. But, by the way, like, I think Brown and Tatum were wrong in that case. Those guys weren't ready for the minutes. Those guys clearly aren't ready to lead a team because it is Brown and Tatum's team and they suck. So you're not ready. But you're going to treat Hayward like Stevens' pet and get all bent out of shape because they're playing Gordon Hayward over you? Like, I think those guys don't got it either. Like, I think they got issues. And, you know, guys playing the race card when it's not relevant, it's not the issue. But they believe it, so that's their reality. You've got to address it somehow. You've got to come meet them in the middle somehow. You've got to, you know, you've got to address their concerns somehow because they feel that way. And it's like, so what do you do?
Yeah. Right, if their reality is during when Hayward was here, like, oh, coach playing the coach's son here. What do you expect? Racist ass Boston. Like, if that's how any of those dudes feel, you're so screwed.
Yeah. Look, again,
you can't change that.
Yeah. Look, again, Mike, people miss this. And I understand the point you're making. Whether it's true or not doesn't matter. They believe it.
Yes, sir.
They believe it.
Durant,
and they have the right to believe it.
Durant said the whole world knows.
Right. Right. So if that's the case, and this is what you got to go to those players. If you're the Celtics, you have to have the conversation. Do you believe this? You know, what Kyrie said and what Durant said and supported, do you believe that? And is it a problem in terms of staying here? Because if it is, then we need to know so we can make a decision for our franchise. And it's a hard conversation to have, and it's an unfortunate conversation to have, but you got to have it. Because the last thing you can do is let guys leave and who have no intention of staying here because they just don't believe in the city. And if they don't, again, they're allowed to. But you have to have the conversation. You got to find that out.
Okay, again, hippies, wake up. We've given away the tickets. Stop calling. Quit nodding off at the phone. We've given away the tickets. You're going to have to try again tomorrow.
It's
okay?
Not fair, man.
Wake up, okay? And put down the phone. You can go back to the bong now. No more tickets. Tomorrow we will give away more tickets. We will also, throughout the day, take little breathers from this story. I know it's the hot button topic, so we'll be on it most of the day, but we got to break it up a little bit. So we'll give you a Bruins minute coming up. Cam Neely said something very interesting, I thought, yesterday about Tuukka Rask, both for the here and now and the future. So I want to get to that right after these words.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I'm just going to ramble and rant for 15 minutes if you let me. I'm not joking.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, first of all, I think he's been extremely dialed in this past series. I thought he, he played really well. He was very poised. He was very square to the puck, in my opinion. I thought he handled rebounds really well. And he got out and played some pucks, which certainly helps the defenseman. Both Tuukka and our camp, we said we'd table everything till after the season to see how things go and get a better sense after the season's over for how Tuukka's feeling, both mentally and physically, and we'll go from there.
That was Cam Neely yesterday on his conference call on Tuukka Rask. And it's obviously the piece about the future that I find interesting. He's up. He's a free agent at the end of this year. Contract's up. And he said he and the Rask camp have agreed to table the talks until the offseason and see how Tuukka Rask is feeling mentally and physically, as if there was a decision there on the part of Rask that he had to make about whether he wanted to continue mentally. Am I mentally able to sign another long-term contract and keep playing? Am I physically able to sign a contract and keep playing? And so Zolak and Bertrand have done a good job. Cam was on with Toucher and Rich a couple weeks ago and said something kind of similar. So Neely sort of references a couple different times, like Rask has got something coming up this offseason that he's got to decide. And it's also sort of makes it sound like, in his comment with TNR, he said something about, you know, Rask, Tuukka has to address something and we'll see how he feels on the other side. But really sort of implying he's got a big surgery coming up. So if you piece that all together, he's had a back injury or hip or something. But if it's back, it's okay. Well, that's a tricky surgery. And there's athletes that sometimes don't want to come back for that because, you know, the back is, that's a tough deal. Let me ask Rob Gronkowski. So now you're doing it as a goalie. Rask has to does he have to decide, well, I'm going to have this back surgery. Do I want to go through the rehab and go through everything that it takes and all the maintenance that it takes to go back out there and keep doing this? When I've made my money and I've had a good career and my family's important to me, obviously, and so that's just going to be it. Or is it a mental thing, the mental grind of it, of not wanting to be away from his family anymore and dot, dot, dot. So, your thoughts, Maz.
Well, so whenever someone says mentally and physically, like I think there's always an emphasis on the mental part of it because the physical part of it's a given. Like they all have bodies that break down as they get older. Can I do it anymore? And I always go back to that comment that Marchand made when, I don't remember if it was right before Tuukka left the bubble or after, where he said, you know, I have a really strong wife. And so to me, I took that as there's, for whatever reason, you know, strain on, and I say strain, I'm not telling you there's any difficulty there. I'm just saying that playing in a professional sport can put strain on a relationship, and maybe his wife doesn't like him away all the time. And maybe that's what he has to settle up. Maybe he's got to, you know, talk to his wife and say, should I still do this or should I not? How do you feel about it? And if she's a no, then he's out. So, like, I wonder about, I think there's a mental component. It's like a good conscience component. Can he come back and commit to playing for the team in good conscience, knowing that her heart might not be in it or and as a result, his heart. Because ultimately, it's, you know, but we're all affected by different things, right? So I feel like there's something there with that.
So to me, there's two takeaways. One is that I do think he's a retirement risk at the end of the year. I mean, what if mentally and or physically he doesn't feel right? He's not going to keep playing. So, you know, that is clearly the implication there. So I think he's a retirement risk, but oddly enough, I think the Stanley Cup, not oddly enough, I think this is the case for most guys. So I take that back. But maybe oddly enough for your thinking, I don't think it matters one bit what he does in these playoffs. Like, I don't think.
You've always thought that, though, with any of these sports.
Right. I it's so rare for a guy to decide whether he plays or not based on what happened the year before, meaning I've won the championship or not. Fans all think they did, you know, they've done this with Brady, right? He wins the Super Bowl, he'll walk off into the sunset. He's gonna want to retire a winner like John Elway. No, that's not how these guys make the decision. They make the decision based on whether they want to go through the rehab of whatever injury they have, go through the rehab of whatever surgery they're going to have to undergo, what they're going to make, how much they're going to play, what their family life is. And if all those things check off, they keep playing. If they don't, they don't. They don't play. And whether they win the championship or not usually has absolutely nothing to do with it. And fans can't get that through their head.
Okay. In the case of Rask.
In the case of Rask, I think that's doubly true. I don't think he cares whether he wins a cup or not.
I don't know about that.
Of course you don't know. And I don't know either. My opinion, doesn't care.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I think with him, the odds would be more likely that he'd walk if he wins.
Oh, I think it has 0.0 to do with it.
Yeah, I don't. I don't think it's 0.0.
Zero.
I mean, because again, if it's a, what if his argument to, you know, and again, I'm just creating the scenario here. So what if the argument to the wife is, look, I'd like to win one. This is really the only reason I'm staying now. We don't need the money.
Then he's saying it just as an excuse to get her to sign off. He doesn't really feel it. And I'm not saying this necessarily as a dig. I mean, it's unfortunate that he feels this way. So I guess it is a dig. But I think Rask has even talked about it. Others have talked about it. I'm not defined by whether I've won a championship or not. I've had a great career. I've checked every box that I wanted to check. We came up short a couple times, but I'm satisfied as a pro. I think that's who he is.
Yeah, I don't believe that. And I'm not telling you he wants that it's a burning desire.
Do you have any indication of that?
No. I'm just telling you
Have you heard anything like that?
No. I'm just telling you that the guy's a competitor. When I say a competitor,
Do you really feel that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think he gets mad when he gives up bad goals, and I don't think he. And when I say competitor, don't misunderstand. I'm not telling you that he is the most cutthroat competitor out there.
Then why didn't he come back to the team last year?
Maybe he thought the problem was serious.
Well, no. He said I got back in a couple. You know, again, the family emergency. He came back. Everyone was okay, and then there was an opportunity for him to go rejoin the team, and he didn't.
I don't know. I don't have the answer for you. I don't, maybe he's a guy that once that happened wasn't going to go back. I have no idea. All I'm telling you is the guy who says that I don't have anything to prove if I don't win, I don't think they really believe that.
He does.
I think every guy that plays wants to win a championship.
No, wants to is different. Of course, we all want to. But are you willing to sacrifice? Are you, you know, does it eat at you if you don't? That's the difference, right?
Yeah, no. Well, he's probably not that guy. No, it doesn't eat at him. But again, could it be enough to bring him back? Or again, I look at it more the other way. If he wins, I think it's much easier for him to walk. I think it's much easier to walk. If you don't win, like the Brady thing never made sense to me because he's won five of them before he six, whatever the hell the number was before he left here. So, but a guy who's never won, I think sometimes at the end, you might be more inclined to hang on a little bit if you haven't won, if you think you have a chance. I do. I believe that.
Well, I mean, generally speaking, maybe. I think it's very rare that it comes down to that, and I think that's not on Rask's radar. It's just I don't think it eats at him. Otherwise, he would have came back to the team last year. Otherwise, he wouldn't have sat, you know, in for games that decided whether they make the playoffs or not because he had a intestinal turmoil or whatever. He would have played. He would have played for Finland in the semifinal game. Like I just don't think he's wired like that. Unfortunately, but again, no one knows, but I think there's, you know, evidence to support my feeling versus yours. But either way, I think that's coming, you know, that's one takeaway.
Okay, but Mike, when you say there's evidence to suggest it, there's public evidence.
Sure.
Could there be stuff going on there that none of us knows about?
So what, again, I'm asking is, do you know something?
No, I don't, but I acknowledge the fact that there might be something I don't know. Like, that's the only part I'm telling you. I don't have inside information. I'm just telling you that the guy's a professional athlete, and I'm not telling you they're all wired exactly the same way. But I think if you're a guy who's never won, and you're at the end of a contract, and you win in your last year, it's easier to walk away than if you hadn't won. You might walk away either way. I'm just telling you, it's easier if you had. If once you win, it's easy to go.
Yeah, I just don't feel he's that guy. So we can agree to disagree. The second piece is that if he has this decision to make physically, right? He's got a surgery coming or something like that. It means he's still hurt. You know, it means he's still got this thing. He still has this physical thing, and you know, maybe we forgot that because he seemed to get better as that series went on against the Caps, and he looks good right now. And there really hasn't been a hint of a problem as far as I could see, you know, on the ice anyway, since he came back from the injury. He's mentioned a couple times in press conferences that, you know, it's a grind, and he's alluded to the fact that he's not 100%, I should say, but I haven't seen any indication of it. But if he's due a back surgery or something like that, it tells you he's still got a thing, and that could still be a thing. And I had sort of forgotten it, and it's still there. And so I guess the long and short of that is Swayman, stay fresh, you know, because this could still come up.
See, I still want them to get a veteran guy with or without Rask.
Oh, so, I mean, that's going to next year. I'm talking about Rask may still not be able to make it through this year.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, absolutely. They may need Swayman. He's got to stay sharp. No question about it.
So that's just, I mean, again, it's a reminder that whatever Rask has got, it's not been totally solved. If he's got, you know, if we're waiting for this to see how he feels physically thing. Still hanging out over there. So anyway, there's your Bruins Minute. Also want to take this time to mention real quick Maz's great golf tournament that he's been holding now for 10 years. Did you do this before we started?
I did. Yeah, I started it back in 2005, believe it or not.
Okay, so this is, whatever, 16 years.
Yeah, we didn't do it every year at the very beginning, but it's something like that.
Okay, awesome. Well, congratulations. The 10th annual Who's Your Caddy Classic here is at 98.5 The Sports Hub is concerned, though. It's our 10th annual. It's Maz's golf tournament. It is to benefit the Pediatric Advanced Care Team at Boston Children's Hospital. It's June 21st at Brook Meadow Country Club in Canton. Foursomes on sale Tuesday, June 1st at 9 a.m. at 98.5thesportshub.com. Space is limited. These usually sell out pretty quick, right, Maz?
Yeah, it is. And they're, you know, the numbers are a little restricted this year because of COVID. We weren't able to do the tournament at all last year. So, you know, the spots that are available presumably will go quickly. They usually do, but we appreciate people's support.
I'd argue this is the most buzzed about event we do when we have had it.
Why would you say that? Because you're all buzzed to the bejesus when you get out
there?
No,
because, Maz, I mean, people asking me, can you put aside a foursome for me? Can you put aside? No, just log on that morning and good luck to you.
Well, so look, again, it's a, you know, it's a fun day. Who doesn't like to go out and play in a scramble, you know, have a couple of drinks out there and, you know, chow down some food and have a good time.
With
I get
your favorite
it.
Sports Hub personalities.
Oh, yeah. No. Zoll will be there. So Murray and I will be out there. And again, you know, now I don't even have to go to Murray for the supplements that help my concentration on the golf course. I can get them in my own in the store.
Yeah. Or so, from the patchouli weasel.
Foursomes on sale Tuesday, this upcoming Tuesday, 9 a.m., 98.5thesportshub.com to get your foursome. What do they cost, Maz?
Our foursomes are, it's $150 per player or $600 a foursome.
Got it.
And that includes, obviously, a round of golf. It includes a lunch and the entire day. So we'll have a good time out there. And if you're nice to me, I might even buy you a beverage.
There's also a live auction, silent auction, 50-50 raffle prizes and more. All proceeds, again, benefit the Pediatric Advanced Care Team at Boston Children's Hospital. This event is also generously supported by the Long Drink. I think that's, is that
Tuca?
Is
that Tuca's drink?
Yeah.
Now you know the real reason I'm defending them.
There you go.
No, I'm kidding.
The Long Drink, Coca-Cola Beverages Northeast, Top Shelf Cookies, Stone and Skillet, Anna's Taqueria, Boston Calling, and the Boston Bruins Foundation. Great support right there, Maz. Let's say there was someone, I don't have anyone specifically in mind, who doesn't want to golf or doesn't want to go out there but wants to help the cause. Where do they go?
I think you can make donations on the website, but I'll get more information for you on that one. Because of children's involvement, there are sometimes some loopholes we have to jump through, but I think you can also make a donation to WBZFM, and then we'll put it in with the money from the tournament. Okay. I'll get you more details on that next week.
Thank you. Okay, there's that. Here's Murray's update. I promise your call's right after.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
Ooh, isn't the show so great when you're not there, Felger? Yeah, I got a ton of those. I sent those.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, back to your phones. As promised, you're on Felger and Maz. Dakota in Braintree. Go ahead, Dakota.
Hey, quickly, before I even get to the Celtics, Maz, the Children's Hospital, I had an incident with my daughter when she was born. She was born in Waltham, Weston. They had her emergency, like, bring her into Children's. She stayed in there for a month. She almost lost life. She came out better than ever. So I always... always owe my life from my first daughter to Children's Hospital and anything I can do. Actually, I think I owe you a $1,000 charity bet because of my Peyton Pritchard bet with you earlier in the year that I said I would donate $1,000 to a charity of choice.
Done.
If Peyton Pritchard didn't win the top five of the Rookie of the Year. And Brad totally screwed it up because if he kept
playing, blame him.
Yeah, I will. Anyways, and I hopefully I get tickets to that charity event. And if you need anything from swingjuice.com, you know, I'll get you that stuff too since it is a golf tournament.
I'll take the balloon.
The what?
The 1,000. I'll take the 1,000 is what I meant.
That goes to the charity, Matt, okay. Not to you. You don't get that, don't you?
I meant for the charity, Dakota. Go ahead.
Okay, you got that anyways. All right. Before I get to the Kyrie comments, I want to rewind the clock here. The Celtics in 2016, they met with Kevin Durant. They tried to woo him to Boston, correct?
Yep.
The team was young. Durant said, nah, I'm not ready. But there was probably conversations that said, you know what, my buddy Kyrie, I would love to play with him, and I'm only going to be in Golden State a few years, so why don't you go get Kyrie? So the Celtics go out and get Kyrie, and then they trade Jaylen Brown, and Kyrie comes here and says, you know what, I'm not really the big fan of Jaylen Brown, maybe. I'm not a fan of Brad Stevens. I'm not a fan. They got Gordon Hayward that year, too, don't forget. And then he got hurt. I honestly believe that this was all set up for Danny Ainge to bring Kyrie in, to get Durant here, to bring Hayward in here, for them to have this super team, okay? And what got in the way? Danny Ainge's ego of the draft picks of Brown and Tatum and a reluctancy to them to trade them to improve their team. They had opportunities to go get Kawhi Leonard. They didn't go get him. They had opportunities to go get Paul George. They didn't get him. Porzingis was shipped out of the New York Knicks. Opportunity to get him. Plenty of people. Harden, Chris Paul, you can name it. Back-end guys, Jordan Clarkson, who just won the sixth man of the year, was ballyhooed so, about, could have been had.
So
Derrick Rose.
Dakota, yeah. Long story short, Danny Ainge overvalued those draft picks, even the top lottery picks that he selected.
They even had the Memphis pick on top of that. They had the Sacramento pick. All right, as for the Kyrie comments, okay, Listen, I don't care about the ex-Celtics players coming out. I want Marcus Smart. I want Jaylen Brown. I want Jason Tatum to come out and defend Boston. Why don't they come out and say something and say, hey, listen, Kyrie's comments totally off base. I don't know what he experienced.
So let me stop you. I agree. And I think it's a little concerning or notable. Has anyone said anything?
No. What if they don't believe it?
Well, I mean, this is what I mean. Right. Meaning,
so Dakota says he wants them to come out and say it. What if they don't believe it?
What if they agree with Kyrie?
Right.
Then they shouldn't say it.
Yeah.
Right.
So this is my point. Should you be concerned that there's been no pushback from current Celtics? And again, I'm not talking about like some demonstration or a march or something. I'm talking about a tweet.
Just a little
emoji to say, no, I don't stand with Kyrie on this.
Like, yes. So the fact, am I concerned that that's not out there?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, because if Tatum more than anyone else remains silent on a certain level, you can interpret that as him choosing Kyrie over the Celtics.
Yeah, and let's make this part of it clear. Not because I feel like they're turning their back on the organization, but because they genuinely feel that way.
Exactly.
That's the part that should scare you.
On the other
Because
thing,
then there's nothing the Celtics can do.
On the other thing, Dakota might be onto something in terms of the Celtics being victims of their own organizational hubris in that they didn't bend for Kyrie as much as they should have. When you have a player of that caliber who has that kind of pull and that kind of talent, Well, you do whatever it is you got to do to keep him. It's around him with as much talent. But no, instead, you got to hoard the dumb draft picks. You can't move any picks or Jaylen Brown to bring in a Kawhi Leonard. No. Can't do that. We got to think long term. And remember, Kyrie, no one player is bigger than the Boston Celtics. Like, there could be something to that.
Yeah.
That's how they treat themselves.
Yeah. And Mike, this is a discussion we had the other day. This is an issue, too. So, look, I get the whole idea of we don't want to do a Garnett, Allen, and Pierce all over again because the window was short. We want something sustainable. So we're going to build it around centerpiece guys in the draft that we think are all-star caliber players in Brown and Tatum. Fine. What if it doesn't work that way? What if the league just does not allow for it?
The league has become wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Short window, maximize, and hope for the best.
Yeah, so because again, I love the idea of a long run. Who doesn't? Like that is, I mean, absolutely, that's the preferred way to go. But what if it's really not an option in this league?
Right. Exactly. It's exactly the point. Pick it up on the other side. Continue with your thoughts on Rask or this. Long commercial-free segment is next.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Maz.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Tuca worked hard to see pucks, and I think we worked hard to sort of push bodies out of there so he could see pucks. So just seemed very composed in there and sure of himself. And it makes it easier for, I think, everybody when you see your goalie completely under control and looks like they're not going to get a pee by him for the most part.
A little Rask combo, excuse me. And he certainly looked better as that series went on, for sure. And he's looked healthy to me in the games since he's come back from the injury, although he has implied a couple of times that he's still not 100%. Cam Neely has implied a couple of times that Rask has a decision to make in the offseason, mentally and physically, and has alluded to what seems like a offseason procedure coming up, and if it's a back surgery, that's a big deal. And, you know, just a reminder that, you know, Swayman's got to stay ready. He's got to stay fresh because, you know, never mind Rask performance-wise or anything, that back could go out. And that's still sort of on the table. And I think that story sort of drifted to the sidelines there a little bit the last couple weeks.
You feel like you can trust Swayman, though, right? At least
yes,
I do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you can't just you can't just assume Rask is in there for the long haul. No way.
I hope he's out of my life, though, personally. I'll come this offseason, win or lose. Like, I really, like, enough. Like, enough with the Tuca thing. Like, bye. To go up, walk off into the sunset.
Okay, back to your phones on this, and obviously the Celtics and Kyrie. Curtis and Lynn's waiting patiently. Go ahead, Curtis.
Gentlemen, it's been a while. Do I got to offer $1,000 to Maz to get, like, a full 120 seconds like Dakota? Is that? Oh,
you've,
I'm just kidding.
You've just wasted 10.
Listen. I'm sorry. Listen, it's a very important issue. Yeah, Kyrie, I my mother was married to a gentleman, and as a result, I have an older brother and two older sisters who are ethnically mixed, okay? So I'm kind of uniquely positioned to speak on this, you know, as a Caucasian male. Boston is racist as hell. My brother was just back here from Los Angeles 2 months ago, and every time he comes back, he says, I'm never coming back. The biggest key to Kyrie Irving's comment was he made a point. He corrected himself when he said the racism. What did he say? Subtle racism. And if you, and this is a challenge to everyone in the audience, you get your closest friend of color and you ask them honestly and you let them answer honestly about how they feel about racism in Boston. Boston is they will smile in your face, right? And then they will turn around and call you the N-word when they know you're far enough away.
Okay.
That's the nature of the racism in Boston.
I got you, Curtis. I got you. Thanks for the call and the perspective. The beef to me is not whether Kyrie was accurate or not. It's that I think he was using it as a shield for himself. He was using an important topic and trivializing it to use as a shield because he doesn't want to take the heat when he comes into town, or he wants to deliver a shot before he comes into town as part of the back and forth between you and he. So in this specific moment, is he really concerned about an important topic about race and race in Boston? No, no. He wants to take a shot at you and shield himself for what he's going to face when he hits the building. And that's gross. And that's a side topic from race in Boston.
Yeah, so again, I don't doubt that absolutely these incidents take place. You know, and as a white person, how could you possibly know that they don't? Like, that's idiotic. So I just, to me, but I just thought it was a weaselly, cowardly move. That's all. Weaselly, cowardly move. Kyrie is a history of, you know, I want to say lying because that's not even fair in this particular case. But I think that Kyrie dramatizes everything.
Well, but again.
And also, again, more importantly, he's got a history of not showing up for games and arenas, towns that he used to play in.
The timing of it. The timing of it. It's he does it because he knows how deep it cuts. How deep it cuts here in the city and with the Celtics specifically and the challenges the Celtics have with their town's reputation and the players in the NBA. And he knows. He knows how sensitive the Celtics are to it and the town is to it. And he uses this opportunity to go there because he's asked about the reception he's going to get when he goes back to Boston. And that's his way of combating it.
Yeah, he's hiding. He's hiding behind it.
That's just a low blow.
Yeah, it is a totally low blow. It's damaging to the franchise. And I told you, the real implication of it to me is this the way Tatum and Brown feel? And I focus on Tatum always because I think he's the better player. Kyrie and Tatum have a relationship. And if Kyrie believes this, has he imparted any of that on Tatum? And or did he even have to? Like, I'm not going to blame. If Tatum thinks a certain way, I'm not necessarily blaming Kyrie for it. But I am looking at it and saying, if you're the Celtics, you got to have this conversation with Tatum and Brown. You got to get an answer here. If this is a concern for the players going forward, if this is how they feel, you can't keep them. You got to trade them.
Let's do Tom and Jerry here. It's Tommy and Lynn. Go ahead, Tommy. What do you got?
What's up, Felger and boys? Hey, this is what I got. Rask, listen, if he can hold up and keep playing like he is, then we can win the cup with him. If he can't, then we go with Swayman. And also, guys, next time I go to Tony's Pub in Lynn, I want you boys to come down here and watch the game with me.
Okay. We'll see if we can get that worked out there, Tommy. And again, just to prove that Tommy and Lynn and Ryan and Bill Ricca are not the same guy, Ryan and Bill Ricca, hi.
What's up, boys? Listen, I hate Rask as much as the next guy. I have no faith in him to win us a cup. That being said, we all have to admit he's a pretty good goalie, okay? In this city, we don't know what it's like to have really, really bad goaltending. I feel like a lot of teams would love to have Rask on their team, mainly like a team like Pittsburgh with Jarry. I guarantee you they'd take Rask over Jarry right now.
Well, this is
so
true.
I think that, you know.
Yeah, he's right. He's definitely better than Jarry, and I'm just basing that on that hideous and unbelievable display of stupidity with that turnover in that second overtime.
That thing was unbelievable.
Oh my God!
But Rask still needs the exclamation mark. He still needs the period at the end of the paragraph. He still needs the championship, or else, you know, it's just, to me, it's just not complete. You got it. That's the guy. I say it a million times over. It's the final exam for all these guys. You got to pass it at least once. You don't got to win every year, but you got to win it. You know, you got to win at least once, and, you know, you want to be considered a great, you got to win. And he hasn't gotten there yet, hasn't pushed over that threshold yet. So we'll see. We'll see if he can hold up. We'll see if he can hold up. And again, the comments from Neely are just a reminder that he's dealing with something, and there's no guarantee he's going to hold up mentally or physically, as Cam Neely would say. So that's on the table. The Kyrie story is obviously the lead, and the Celtics, I think the state of the Celtics is every bit as relevant, and what I've seen out of Jason Tatum in these two games I think is really glaring, really important. So we'll continue with your thoughts on that. A couple of football topics to break out next hour as well, including, I did have the highlighter in the Wells report out this morning. I did. I'm not going to lie. I had it out. Even though, all the cheating scandals run together, there is a Spygate development. There is Spygate, not Deflategate. That's what I'm saying. But I did just because I love it so much and it's sitting in my front drawer at the ready, I did bring out the Wells report.
Spygate 1.
So this was actually a Spygate development, kind of a juicy one. You know, kind of an interesting one. So we'll give you that. And we have some Jimmy Garoppolo developments as well that we want to get to. We'll do it all next hour, starting in 90 seconds. So a quick update from Murray first. No spots here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.